الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another episode of our series entitled Virtues of Dua, in which we hear about the different aspects of dua. Today, inshallah azza wa jal, we will be hearing about those things for which dua should not be made. A Muslim, even though he has this great tool, this weapon that is known as dua, that can repel all his difficulties and calamities and open the doors of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him, yet we realize and we know time and time again from experience that Muslims do not know what to ask for. Sometimes they end up asking for the wrong things. So inshallah azza wa jal, today we will mention those things which the ulama have warned against. We will mention those things which should not be prayed for. Before we begin, there are countless virtues of reciting peace and blessings, salawat and salam, upon the purpose of creation, the beloved Prophet alayhi salat wa salam. The Prophet alayhi salat wa salam said, three types of people, three fortunate types of people will be under the shade of Allah azza wa jal's throne on the day when there will be no shade besides the shade of Allah jalla jalaluhu's throne. Allahu Akbar. You're probably wondering, who are those three types of people? Listen carefully. Number one, the Prophet alayhi salam said, man farraja an makroobi ummati. The first of those fortunate people will be the one who removed a difficulty, a problem from another ummati of the Prophet alayhi salam. Somebody was going through a hard time, very difficult time. You saw that he was in a difficult situation. You saw that that person was suffering and he was in distress. And alhamdulillah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled you to help that person to remove his worries and difficulties. Inshallah azza wa jal, the one doing so will be deserving of the reward that is mentioned in this hadith sharif, and that is being under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne on the day when there will be no shade besides this shade. Allahu Akbar. The second type of people, وَمَنْ أَحْيَى سُنَّتِي. The second group of fortunate people who will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne on Yawm al-Qiyamah will be those who revived the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam. وَمَنْ أَحْيَى سُنَّتِي. The one who revived my sunnah, my tradition, my way. The third type of people who will be blessed with this honor of being under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne on Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ الصَّلَاةَ عَلَيَّ. Subhanallah. The one who recites an abundant amount, a great amount of peace and blessings, durood sharif, upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ الصَّلَاةَ عَلَيَّ. The one who recites salawat and salam abundantly upon me. Now my dear viewers of Madani Channel, ponder, reflect for a moment. All these three things that have been mentioned in this hadith sharif, each one of us, every one of us, can act upon it. It's not beyond us. It's not something very, very difficult. We see people in trouble all the time. We see people suffering all the time. The state of the ummah is such that majority of them are always complaining for one reason or the other. My children don't listen. I have financial problems, etc., etc. So if we reach out to that person, we help him, we remove his difficulty, inshallah, we will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Secondly, the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam. You have to make the mindset. We claim to love the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, but real love, true love, demands that you follow the person that you love. You follow him in word, in action, everything. So if you want to be true in our claim that we love the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, then we must implement his sunnah in our lives. And the third glad tiding given, for those who recite durood sharif, peace and blessings in abundance. Subhanallah, there are Muslims out there today who recite durood sharif in thousands every day. They take time out of their life. They hold gatherings of durood sharif in their home. those people will truly be blessed on the Day of Judgment. And we can also benefit from this. If we make a schedule, we make a timetable, and give a bit of time for recitation of Durood Sharif. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to reap the reward and benefits mentioned in this Hadith Sharif. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahman, has mentioned in his book, Ahsanul Wi'a li Adabid Dua, certain things which the ulama have forbidden. In what sense? In the sense that they should not be prayed for, they should not be asked for. When supplicating in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should not ask for these things. Majority of them listed are by the great scholar Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan, rahmatullahi alayhi, and there are certain additions by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, rahmatullahi alayhi as well. The first thing that has been mentioned, one should not exceed the boundary when making dua. He should not cross the limit, the boundary set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does this mean? For example, somebody raises his hands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ma'adallah, he asks to attain the rank of a Nabi, a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alayhi salam. This is something which cannot be prayed for. And it falls under the verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love those who transgress. Because remember, nubuwwah, prophethood is something which is wahbi. It is gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It cannot be attained through hard work and effort. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already chosen His messengers, His prophets. So this dua cannot be asked for. Another example is for somebody to raise his hands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and state, O Allah Azza wa Jal, save me from every single difficulty. Save me from every single difficulty. This is a dua that shouldn't be asked for. Allah Azza wa rahmatullahi alayhi comments and says, this does not contradict the hadith sharif of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which the following dua is mentioned. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah wa tamam al-afiyah wa dawam al-afiyah. O Allah Azza wa Jal, I ask safety from you. Complete safety, continuous safety from the troubles and afflictions of the world. How does it not contradict this hadith sharif? Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi states that this hadith sharif, this dua, refers to those problems which are unbearable, that a human being cannot bear them. For example, being bit by a snake, suffering from a terminal illness that is eating away at a person and is causing him tremendous pain. Another example, illnesses such as leprosy, insanity, losing one's mind. These are such illnesses that are not bearable by a human being. And this is mentioned in the Quran Sharif when the believers of the past, they prayed, رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. O Allah Azza wa Jal, do not make us carry that which we do not have the power to carry. We do not have the strength to carry that burden, that difficulty, that affliction, that calamity, and that problem. And in fact, Allah Azza wa rahmatullahi alayhi states, some problems, some afflictions are actually beneficial for a Muslim. If he keeps sabr, if he is patient upon them, he is going to gain reward. For example, if somebody suffers from fever, or he has a headache, he's got a cold or a flu, these are not such illnesses which are unbearable. They last for a few days and they go. So when a person keeps patient upon these illnesses, he is gaining reward. Once the Sahaba Ikram alayhi Ridwan were gathered, and they were not saying very positive statements about the fever. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam heard this, the overview of the hadith sharif is that he addressed them and said, do not say bad things about the fever. Why? Because the fever removes your sins. As long as a person is suffering from fever, his sins are being removed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises his ranks. And one of the companions, alayhim ridwan, who was present there, when hearing this great glad tiding, he said, O Allah Azza wa Jal, if I can bear it, then may I suffer from fever throughout my life so that I can gain the rewards mentioned by the beloved alayhi salam. And it so happened. Until his last day, he suffered from fever. Allahu Akbar. And it was this type of affliction and calamity that the awliyaullah azza wa jal rahimahumullahu ta'ala, they used to wait in anticipation for such a difficulty to reach them. That was bearable and it was rewarding as well at the same time. In fact, they would say, some of our awliya, our pious predecessors, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhim, that if a difficulty hadn't reached them within 40 days, then they would be fearful that the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal has turned away from them. Allahu Akbar. They were in anticipation for such an illness. Alama Laqani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi states that similarly, just as one should not pray that Ya Allah Azza wa Jal save me from every affliction and calamity, he should not pray that every single desire of his is accepted, that he gains all the blessings of the world, all the bounties of the world. Why shouldn't he ask for every single blessing? Because there are certain blessings that are reserved, save for the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, the prophets of Allah. And it goes without saying that normal people like me and you, normal people, normal Muslims, we cannot attain that rank, that honor, the same blessings that the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam were given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point to remember, whenever we make dua, we should not exceed the boundaries. We should not ask for something that is impossible for it to be given to us. For example, if somebody is tall, then he should not make the dua, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, make me shorter. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for him to be that tall. This is something called muhale adi. It's not naturally possible for it to occur. We should not pray such du'as in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing that our scholars, our ulama, they mention that a person should not pray for useless things. Just before he's about to make a supplication, he should think, is this beneficial for me? Do I really need it? What are the consequences if I make such a du'a? Is it wise for me to make such a du'a? An example of this is given that somebody from the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, the tribe of Israel, he was given the glad tidings that he had three accepted du'as. Meaning he had three du'as that were going to be accepted, there was no doubt about this. Yaqini torpar. Meaning no, it was certain that his du'as would be accepted. And he didn't think beforehand. He didn't take a mashwara, a suggestion, take any advice from the wise or the scholars. And he went ahead and made his first dua. He said, O Allah Azza wa Jal, may my wife become more beautiful than all the women in our area, all the women in our city. And because his du'as were to be accepted, he had three accepted du'as, this du'a was accepted for him. And his wife became more beautiful than all the women of that area, of that town, of that city. But little did he know that there would be dire consequences. His wife, she became very arrogant. She started to create fitna, trouble. And she was causing him a lot of harm and pain. So then he did dua one day, using his second accepted dua. He said, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, turn her into a dog. Allahu Akbar. As soon as he made this dua was also accepted and she turned into that creature, that animal. Now he's used two du'as and both of them have gone to waste. The first du'a, make her beautiful, more beautiful than all the women. Then when this backfired, she started to behave inappropriately, he made du'a that she be turned into an animal. And this du'a was also accepted. Now he only has one du'a left. And his young daughters, they pleaded in his court, they pleaded to their father, do dua that she turns back to normal again. And he heard their plea, he accepted their plea, and his third dua was made, O Allah Azza wa Jal, turn her the way she was, change her back to the way she was in the first place. And this dua was also accepted. It was the third and final dua that he was promised. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, did you see how this person from the Bani Israel, he had three accepted du'as. The first du'a he wasted, make her more beautiful than all the women. This backfired. He made the du'a, Ya Allah, turn her into an animal. This du'a was accepted. And finally he did du'a, Ya Allah, Azza wa Jal, turn her back to normal, the way she was in the first place. And this du'a was accepted. So he didn't gain anything Why? Because he did not think of what to pray for beforehand. He prayed for something which is useless, non-beneficial. So when we make supplications, we should keep this in mind as well. Another thing that the ulama have mentioned, do not pray for a sinful desire to be fulfilled. When we raise our hands in the court of Arhamur Rahimeen, the most merciful, then again we should not be daring. We should not say, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, may my certain desire which is against the Sharia, which is unlawful, may it be accepted. Ma'adullah, if somebody prays, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, make me successful in robbing that bank. I want to rob £2 million, for example. Make me successful in this plan of mine, this evil plan of mine. This is another dua that is for a sinful desire. And remember the principle that asking for a sin to be fulfilled is also a sin. Another thing that shouldn't be prayed for, very important that whenever we get the opportunity of raising our hands, having our voice heard in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should not pray for the destruction of those close to us. For anyone, for that matter, but especially those who are close to us. Now today in our houses, when the mother is doing the housework, she's cleaning up, she's cooking, and the children are, you know, running around, causing a lot of mess, making noise, and this angers her. She becomes very angry, to the point that she loses it. And sometimes she'll raise her hands, or she'll say some words that are very, very detrimental. They have negative consequences. For example, she'll say, may Allah do so-and-so to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do this to you, do that to you. So bad dua, cursing and doing dua against the own children. Allahu Akbar. And this is something that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he knew there would come a time. He knew there would be a time when people will do this. People will actually do dua against their own children, against their own family, against their own loved ones. Therefore he said in a hadith sharif, لَا تَدَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Do not do bad dua against yourself. Do not curse yourself. وَلَا تَدَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَوْلَادِكُمْ. Similarly, don't do dua against your children for them to suffer. وَلَا تَدَعُوا عَلَىٰ خَدَمِكُمْ. Do not curse or make dua against your slaves. وَلَا تَدَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ. And do not do dua against your wealth. The hadith continues, لَا تُوَافِقُوا مِنَ اللَّهِ سَاعَةً نِيلَ فِيهَا عَطَاءٌ فَيُسْتَجَابُ مِنْكُمْ. That if you make these du'as against your children, against your family, against your loved ones, then who knows that this du'a, this curse, is met with the time of acceptance. It joins the time of acceptance. And whatever you prayed for is accepted, and you end up rubbing your palms and thinking to yourself, oh no, what have I done? I have caused destruction to my own self, my own loved ones, my own property. So remember, never ever make bad dua. As far as possible, control yourself, control your anger, develop tolerance inside yourself. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, you will see the blessings of this. So do not ever curse anybody when making dua, especially family members and children. Another thing that the ulama have warned against, do not pray that relations are severed. For example, do not pray that so-and-so falls out with so-and-so. Again, this is prohibited. This is something which is forbidden. And there are many ahadith which inform us that wishing for relations to be severed, to be cut, this is very, very bad in Islam, and it causes great negative consequences. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا يدخل الجنة قاطع الرحم. The one who severs relations, the one who cuts ties, then he will not enter paradise. Allahu Akbar. How big a deprivation for that person. He is deprived from the ultimate prize, the ultimate gift, and our goal, which is the Akhirah, paradise, Jannah. Similarly, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us that if you want, if I want, if anybody wants their du'as to be accepted, They do not want obstacles to occur when making dua. They do not want any hindrances to come in the way. Then never ever pray for the severing of relations. The Prophet ﷺ said that your du'as will be accepted. مَا لَمْ يَدْعُ بِإِثْمٍ أَوْ قَطْعِيَةِ رَحْمٍ. That your du'as will be accepted as long as you do not pray for a sin, as we covered just moments earlier, for a sinful desire to be fulfilled, and for the severing of relations. أَوْ قَطْعِيَةِ رَحْمٍ. That relationships are broken. Relationships cease to exist. You should not pray for this. Because as long as you avoid this, inshallah azza wa jal, your du'as will be met with acceptance.
Subhanallah.
Another thing that the ulama mentioned, do not pray for, is that when we face difficulty, when we face any issue, when we are going through a bad time, when we are distressed, when we are grief-stricken, then we should not pray for death. And sadly, this is the case today. When somebody is going through a lot of problems, he just wants to end his life. Ma'adallah. We hear cases of people who go over the edge. They're not able to control their emotions. They're not able to gather their thoughts. And they think the solution is to take their own life. And they end up committing suicide. Allahu Akbar. Remember, dear viewers of Madani Channel, committing suicide is not going to resolve anything. Is not going to sort out the problem. The problem will still exist. Why? An even greater problem will exist. Because the one who commits suicide, the adab, the punishment, as mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, in the similar fashion that he committed suicide, he will continue to take his life as a form of punishment. He will continue to take his life in the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. So whenever we face any difficulty, whenever we face any problem, we shouldn't pray for death. The Prophet ﷺ said, whenever you face any problem, any issues, any difficulty, then you should make the following dua. Allahumma ahyini ma kanat al-hayatu khayran li. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant me life as long as life is better for me. May I stay alive as long as this life is better for me. Wa tawaffani idha kanat al-wafatu khayran li. And grant me death when death is better for me. When it's better for me to leave this world, to depart from this world, grant me death at that moment, not before then. So instead of panicking and wishing for death, we should always make this dua. Oh Allah, keep me alive as long as life is better for me. As long as I'm performing good actions. I am earning your closeness. I am earning your rida, your pleasure. And when life is not better for me, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, take my life. This is the dua that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. And remember, dear viewers of Madri Channel, how can we even ask for death? Allahu Akbar, who are we? What position are we in? We sin day and night, we're disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we're asking for death, not knowing that that is the real test. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an, he was seen crying next to a grave. He was crying profusely, his tears were flowing. And someone asked, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, when hellfire is mentioned, when the Akhirah is mentioned, you do not cry as much. When you see the grave, you're crying tremendously. Why is this? And Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala, and he replied, that this is the first test. This is the first place that we are going to go to after death. If we pass the test here, inshallah, everything else after that will also be good as well. We will also pass those tests. But if you fail here, then we will continue to fail. Allahu Akbar. So we shouldn't ask for death. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, what is the best life? And he ﷺ replied, a life which is long and full of piety. A person continues to do good deeds. So we should make dua, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, grant us a long, pious life. Not ask for death. We know full well our situation. Our bad deeds overpower our good deeds. They are more than our good deeds. So we should not ask for death. There are certain moments wherein a person can ask for death. The ulama have mentioned certain moments, certain times in a person's life when he is allowed, it's permissible for him to ask for death. What are those moments? What are those times? You're living in a time where protecting your iman is very, very difficult. Chances of falling into kufr, chances of doing wrong are so great that you can't save yourself. The Prophet ﷺ used to pray, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِقَوْمٍ فِتْنَةً فَاقْبِضْنِي إِلَيْكَ غَيْرَ مَفْتُونٍ. O Allah Azza wa Jal, when you intend to place a nation into difficulty, tribulation, fitna, a test, a great trial, then take my life without testing me, without putting me into any trial, without examining me. So whenever you're in this situation, then it's permissible to ask for death. So dear viewers of Madinah Channel, today we covered a topic that is very important when we make dua, when we ever in a position Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to raise our hands, we should know what to pray for, what we are not allowed to pray for. Today we covered the things that the ulama have mentioned that we should not pray for. Never in any situation should we ask for these things. Cursing against your children, praying for death, praying, O Allah Azza wa Jal, grant me the rank of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. So these things cannot be prayed for. We have to keep these things in mind. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, as we have been doing throughout our series, towards the end, we mention a dua from the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, a small dua which we can learn and implement in our lives. Today's dua is about fragrance. When somebody places itr upon you, you should give him a dua. And that dua is as follows. عطر الله أيامك عطر الله أيامك عطر الله أيامك عطر الله means may Allah make fragrant أيامك all your days, meaning all your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill it with blessings. Make it fragrant. So this is a dua that we should learn. And whenever we place atar on somebody, or when they place atar upon us, they should give us that dua. We should give that dua to somebody else as well. So you'll be acting upon the sunnah, and again, you'll be wishing good for your fellow Muslim. So, عَطَّرَ اللَّهُ أَيَّامَكَ. So until the next episode of our series, Virtues of Dua, continue watching Madani Channel. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to pray to Him and raise our hands in His court wholeheartedly and sincerely. Ameen. بِجَاهِ النَّبِيِّ الْأَمِينَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. دعاء دي السنف عبادة.